chapter 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, chapter 1. And we'll start with verse 2, and we'll read the end of the chapter. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, towards the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. To the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them. Until the Lord gives your brothers rest as he gives you, and they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. They answered Joshua, saying, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will also obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your word, and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for just a wonderful day. We thank you for just a wonderful week. And Lord, we just want to come into your house, and we just want to just grow in your word. We just want to hear from your heart. And God, we want to spend our first fruits of the morning with you. So Lord, we just thank you that we can enjoy this time with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you, if you were able to know what happened before it happened, how would you use that knowledge? What would you do? If you were to know what was going to happen before it happened, the question is, what would you do with that knowledge? Would you use that knowledge to enrich yourself? Maybe the most obvious example would be maybe a stock market, you know, sort of insider trading insight. You know, if you knew what was going to happen before it happened, would you, you know, buy low, sell high, and make a lot of money? Or if you knew what was going to happen before it happened, would you use it to help those in need? In other words, if you knew that someone was going to be in trouble, would you rush to help them before? Or would you become a hero if you knew someone was in danger? Would you try to prevent that from happening? What would you do if you knew what was going to happen before it was going to happen? Well, since currently it's virtually difficult and impossible to know what's going to happen before it happens outside from the word of the Lord, there are three things that God says that you shouldn't do. And I just want to briefly go over that. Number one is, don't presume about tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, so don't presume. Proverbs 27:1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. So the first thing that you don't want to do is to presume about tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know. So the whole question of what would you do if you knew what was going to happen before it happened, really doesn't really have reality. The scripture says three things I don't want you to do. Number one, don't presume tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen. Number two, don't panic about tomorrow. Matthew 6:34 says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. So that's the second thing. Don't panic about what's going to happen tomorrow. Yeah, I mean, bird flu might come down to Hong Kong and, you know, create another panic. But the scripture says don't panic about tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen. Don't panic. And third thing is don't procrastinate until tomorrow. So don't presume about tomorrow. Don't panic about tomorrow. And don't procrastinate until tomorrow. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says something like this, that if you wait for perfect conditions, you're never going to get anything done. Ecclesiastes 11:4. And so, I don't know about you, you know, I don't know if you're a procrastinator. There's certain things that I procrastinate about. And a lot of us, we procrastinate because we want the conditions of our lives to be perfect. We're going to do it when all of the conditions, when all the stars align, you know, together and they form a picture of Jesus' face. And then I'll go ahead and do what I need to do. Right? And so to sum up once again, three things that God asks us not to do, don't do in his word. Don't presume, don't panic, and don't procrastinate. So those are three things that God says in his word, don't do. But I want to look at the book of Joshua and look at some three things that God says to do that we need to do. And so here in Joshua chapter 1, here's the scene. God frees his children, Israelites, out of slavery. And unfortunately, because of their disobedience, they've been wandering in the desert for 40 years. And finally, the older disobedient generation is gone, and there's a brand new younger generation that's ready to do what God tells them to do. And I don't know if you've meditated on this, but in verse 18, it's interesting that their allegiance to Joshua is as strong as their allegiance to Moses, which many people didn't even know. The younger generation didn't know well. And but they say in verse 18 is that, yeah, anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your word and all that you command him, they will be put to death. In other words, hey, Joshua, if there's anyone in our tribe that doesn't obey you, we're going to kill him. In other words, they put a very high premium on obedience. In other words, their premium on obedience to the point of, if you don't obey, we're going to just kill you off. I mean, that's how serious they're into obedience. And that's just something that maybe we can meditate on a little bit on your own, I guess. But in any case, so that's the situation. They're about to enter the promised land, but unfortunately in the promised land, there's approximately seven enemy nations with strong armies and fortified cities and walls. And so you can understand why Joshua might be a bit uneasy on sort of leading this new generation into the promised land. And so in verse 10, Joshua commands the officers of the people and say, hey, I want you to get ready to go in. I want you to go through the camp, tell the people, get your supplies ready. In 3 days, we're going to go in and take the land. And so before he does that, we've got to see what is it that strengthens Joshua to be able to have the confidence to go into this enemy territory where the obstacles and the adversaries are so much stronger than he is and the Israelites. So I want to examine those three things. So number one, the first thing that he says is to stay in the word. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do all according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left so that you may have success wherever you go. In other words, do whatever the law says. Go in verse 8 in the NASB, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. But in the NIV, I memorized it as, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. And in the NIV, it just seems more of a command. It is a command. Here in the NASB, it's like saying, this book of the law shall not depart your mouth. This book is not going to depart from your mouth. You know what I'm saying? But in the NIV, it's more of a command that we can understand. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Be strong and courageous. And God is saying, I'm going to guarantee you success if you are careful to obey all the law. Don't turn from it, from the left or the right. And that phrase, don't turn from the book of the law, don't turn to the left or the right. In other words, don't be sidetracked. Don't be sidetracked from getting into God's word. Don't be sidetracked from obeying God's word. Don't be sidetracked. As Christians, it's very easy to be sidetracked in our Christian life. Maybe it's a promotion in your job, you know, that causes you to have more work than you usually do. Suddenly you're so busy that you don't have time for the word of God. Or maybe it's a lack of a job. As I talk to people who maybe get unemployed or in between jobs, and they have all of this time. So the fantasy is, I have all of this time. I'm going to spend so much time in God's word, and I'm going to spend a lot of time in prayer because I have all of this time. Unfortunately, that rarely is the case. Now that you have all of this time, you have all of this time to not be productive or do other things, and we get sidetracked. So it's like you have a lot of things to do, and you get sidetracked from God's word, or you don't have much to do, and you still get sidetracked from God's word. But he says, don't be sidetracked. Don't look to the left or the right. Maybe it's a promotion in your job, or maybe it's a hobby that you get so caught up in a hobby, or you know, maybe golf or quilting, knitting, because I know we are so involved in those kinds of things. Or maybe it's a new relationship, you know, a new friendship or new relationship that gets you sidetracked, you know. That we get sidetracked from the book of the law, from the word of God. And so God's saying, don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Secondly, he says, meditate on it. Meditate simply means think about it. And he says, meditate on it day and night. This word meditation, sort of, we kind of shy away from. We're kind of scared of this word meditation because we're afraid that, we don't want to be new agey. We don't want to, you know, fall into a new age. We think of, you know, sort of sitting down, crossing our legs, you know, having our hands like this and just closing our eyes and just repeating some chants or ohms or something like that. But that's not what it's saying. It's saying, think about the word of God. Meditation is a good biblical word, and said in fact, you know, the book of Joshua says, I want you to meditate on it. If you want to understand what meditation truly is, if you want to understand what meditation really feels like, or how to do meditation, or am I doing meditation correctly, think about this concept of worry, right? Worry is negative meditation, right? Are you worried about something right now? Are you worried about your job? Are you worried about lack of your job or a lack of a job? Are you worried about your relationship? Are you worried about your family? Are you worried about your finances? Are you worried? What are you worried about? See, because when you worry, you are constantly thinking about these things. When you're worried, you're constantly meditating on negative things. And you're not even trying to worry, right? You're not even trying to think of these things. All of a sudden, you realize, why am I worried, or why am I thinking about these things? Or you might go through an entire morning just constantly thinking about your worry. Well, that's the negative aspect of meditation, worry. But what God is calling us to do is to take that same concept of worry and to apply that to the Word of God. Have you ever, and I'm not expecting, you know, a high response, have you ever just realize, oh my gosh, I've been thinking about EMP sermon all day today, or I've been thinking about Sunday sermon all day, or is it only during house church time? Oh shoot, now I got to think about, like, what did he say? What, you know, what's going on? And you know, I must admit too, that's very rare. But God is saying, I want the book of the law, I want the scriptures, I want you to meditate it on it day and night, in the sense where it's in your heart all day, it's in your thoughts all day, and you go through a whole morning, realize, oh my gosh, I've just been constantly thinking about, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I didn't even try. It just popped up, and that's my focus. See, because when you're worried, you're just focused on the problem. You've analyzed the problem. This is the problem. This is what the consequences are. This is what I could do. This is what I shouldn't do. This is what I could try to do. Will this happen? Will this not happen? But when we meditate on the Word of God, You know, this is what I can do in Christ. This is what's going to happen. This is the promise. This is how we're going to get there. This is my hope. This is who he is. This is the love that I have. Wow, God is an amazing God. And, oh yeah, I have to finish this this ledger, you know, in front of me. Oh yeah. Meditate on it day and night. Talk about it. Think about it. Part of meditating on it is actually talking to people about it. You know, maybe you're, you know, I'm a techie guy. I like researching, you know, about, you know, the newest, you know, tech things, you know, gadgets and things like that. And so you'll read about it, you know, you'll think about it, you know, you'll Facebook somebody, hey, you know, should we get the new Galaxy, you know, phone? Should I get the HTC One, you know, should I get the new iPhone, you know? And you talk about it and it's on your mind and it's just constantly on your thoughts. Well, the Word of God says, let's try to replace that with the Word of God. Come on, somebody. Let's try to replace your worry with the Word of God. Let's try to replace. Some of us are foodies, and that's all we think about all day, food, you know. Don't look at the person next to you, you know, just I know in your heart. But instead of replacing the thoughts of food, replace it with the Word of God. And the third thing is to put it into practice. Be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. In other words, take the teachings and the principle of the Word of God and put it into practice. Live it every day. Someone once said, sin will keep you from reading the Bible. But reading the Bible will keep you from sin. So don't neglect it. And so as God speaks to Joshua, these things, don't let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. And be careful to do everything that is written in it. So you will be prosperous and successful. Now, as sort of an encouragement to us in modern day, here is a situation where I need to ask you, do you believe it? Do you believe this is the formula for success? We're told many times that there are no formulas to God. You know, if you do A plus B, you'll always get C. But here I can confidently say that there is a formula to success. It is to not let the book of the law depart from your mouth, to be careful to meditate on it day and night, and to do what is written in it so that you'll be prosperous and successful. But the question now is, do we believe that? Do we believe that to the point that Joshua believes it? Do we believe it to the point where his people believe it so that if anyone disobeys Joshua, they will be put to death? That is the question. And just as Pastor Peter, I think on Sunday, was talking about prayer meetings, and I have the same thing to say about the Word of God. See, if we believed it, we would do it. But if we were to survey, you know, churches all over the world, and how much they are into the Word of God, and how much they meditate in the Word of God, and how much they do the Word of God, the percentages would be small. But the promise is that God would bless you, and that you would be prosperous and successful. And these Israelites, these new generation of Israelites, believed it to the point where if anyone disobeys, we're going to kill them off. We're going to kill them off. And so this morning, may we be challenged to meditate on the Word of God. Joshua 1 is often preached. We could spend a whole year just on Joshua 1, and you can find so many different insights and nuggets. You know, we could talk about being courageous. We could talk about, you know, overcoming fear. We could talk about, you know, generation to generation, leadership transfer. We can talk about so many things in Joshua. This morning, I just want to focus and don't let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, and be careful to do everything that is written on it so that you may be blessed, prosperous, and successful. So let's meditate on that this morning. If you could just bow your heads with me as we spend some time meditating, praying. I want to encourage you to go home and memorize verse 8. Remind yourself each and every day, do not let this book of the law depart from my mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be prosperous and successful in all that you do. As we memorize scriptures, that is the point. In our GIC classes, we memorize scriptures, and unfortunately, we get sidetracked with the point of memorizing scriptures. We think that it's just to pass this class. But through the whole process, the whole point is to meditate on God's word as you memorize those scriptures. As you meditate on God's word, also meditate on the sermons and the messages that the Lord is speaking to your heart. And so before we go into a song, I just want to give us a few moments just to meditate, to think about over and over again.
To be a blessing in your life.
As I was meditating on Pastor Peter's Peter Ho's sermon on Sunday, I was reminded of Jim Cimbala's church, Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir in New York. And a similar thing happened to their congregation, is that as soon as they had, they started a Tuesday night prayer meeting. And I can't remember the details, but after that prayer meeting, they've been having that prayer meeting for years, and that's one of the more highly attended meetings of their week, that there was a fresh wind and a fresh spirit and revival happened in their church. And I just see this theme of when God's people get together to pray, that God does incredible things. There's evidence of that. Yet the question is, do we truly believe that? Do we subscribe to the fact that God moves when his people pray? And so we're going to pray and we're going to intercede. The projectors are not working right now, so I'm going to just lead you just briefly in just areas of intercession. And so let's continue to pray for those who are sick and those who are stricken with cancer. And if you've been here on a regular basis, you'll remember some of the names. And so let's lift up those with cancer. Let's not forget them. Let's continue to be faithful each and every day. And so let's lift them up for healing. Let's just pray for the sick in general, just for those that you know are ill and sick and that need our prayers and that need intercession, that need God's intervention, because God is a healer. And so let's just continue to pray for those, just all those who are sick. Let's pray for loved ones that don't know the Lord. Let's pray for loved ones that need salvation. Let's pray for those in our family and our community that don't know Christ. And let's ask the Lord that to open their hearts, that they would receive Christ, to know Christ, and to love Jesus. And so let's pray for our unsaved loved ones. Let's lift up those who are unemployed and looking for jobs. Many have been waiting for a very long time. And so let's ask the Lord to give them grace and to give them provision. And so let's ask the Lord to provide jobs for them. So let's lift them up. Thank you. pray for our mission focus for today, which is China. And let's continue to pray for SB Beijing each week. God is really doing some great things. People are coming to know the Lord. They're continuing to grow. And so let's just begin to lift up Pastor Sam and Annie and SB Beijing. Let's lift up Leon Chang, who's going to be in Beijing quite shortly. And let's just lift up China and just the government there. And let's ask the Lord for an opening there for the gospel. And so let's just lift up China right now. Can we intercede for the pastoral staff and the staff of SP and support staff, and let's just ask the Lord to truly give them wisdom and guidance, and as we continue to serve the church, let's just lift them up and intercede for them. Finally, let's lift up Pastor Sam and Lisa. They're in Kuwait this week for a missions conference. And let's ask the Lord to truly instill just a greater vision for the world, a greater vision for Hong Kong, a greater vision for what God can do as he's meeting with many world leaders. And so let's just intercede for their trip, just for a revelation of God's plan and will and purpose and heart. So let's pray for that right now. Let me just close this in prayer. Father, we just lift up our leaders to you. God, you've entrusted them to keep an account for your people. Lord, we just ask for wisdom and strength. We pray for Pastor Sam. Lord, we just ask, God, that he would go and come back with a greater vision for what you want to do with your people, Lord. And I pray for SP and its members, Lord. We ask, God, for your favor to be upon them, Lord. We pray that as they meditate on your word, God, that they would truly grow in intimacy with you and understand your heart and experience you in a powerful way. God, we pray for encounters with you each and every day through the spectacular things and through the everyday things, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would increase our perspective to what you're doing in our lives, Lord, and help us to continue to be faithful. God, Lord, we know that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So as we go forth this day and this week, Lord, we pray, God, that we would walk in your will. Lord, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for the gift of love. Now help us to be your hands and feet to this world. God, we pray for encouragement to come over your people. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. We praise your name. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you to meditate on God's word. Spend some time in his word today and this week. And And maybe your time this morning will be in God's Word. But I encourage you to stay and pray, intercede for your families, intercede for your church, intercede for Hong Kong, and just hear from the Lord this morning. So bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow.